I'm just going to read the text one more time so that it is again stuck in our minds. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. I'm very glad to be here at Ennerdale. I'm very glad that God has placed me here. But I want to let you in. I want to let you in on some of the things that went before me coming here. In the interest of somewhat full disclosure. As I prayed and thought about this ministry and whether God would have me labor here, I'm going to tell you that there were a number of people that told me I wouldn't do it. Okay? I'm going to be honest with you here. There are a number of people that told me I wouldn't do it. And there are a number of reasons why they told me that. Okay? For one, some of them said, you already have a great deal of demands and pressure on your family. You have two special needs children, and you don't have a lot of time as it is. So, this is something you should reconsider. Others said, considering what just happened at this church, it's almost impossible for someone to step into that kind of a situation and be able to even hold things together, to not have them fly apart. There was one more, and it wasn't as prominent, but it was present, one more reason why people suggested that maybe I should reconsider. And I'm saying this to you in love. I'm saying this to you in honesty. One of the reasons why people said that perhaps I should reconsider is because they said at Ennerdale Road Baptist Church, there are some people with very strong personalities that have a hard time getting along with other people. And for you to step into a situation that's just went through what it's gone through, with the difficulties that have just happened, on the heels of that, it's going to be hard, on top of that, to find your place in such a church where there are such strong personalities. Now let me say this. I'm glad God brought me here. Okay? I'm glad that those people didn't dissuade me from coming here. I rejoice that I'm here. I rejoice that God has placed me here. It is true that some of these things were things that should make me pause and think, seek God's face for wisdom and prayer. When it comes to this area of our interpersonal relationships with one another, I have been blessed in the time that I've been here to see some amazing improvements. I've been blessed to see some people trying harder. I've been blessed to see people who do have strong personalities start to soften with respect to one another. But let's be honest with each other and with the Lord. Having good interpersonal relationships within a church is not just something that you make a decision to do one day and then you're done. We're praying that God will bring people into the church. We're praying that God will bring the people into this church that He wants to bring into this church. I'm praying that God will bring into this church people that have leadership abilities. Sometimes, when people with leadership abilities enter into a church, there's tension and difficulty because leaders have a tendency to want to lead, right? And sometimes people have a tendency to say, well, I haven't done it that way before, so they would be hesitant. This is one of those areas in which I have seen great improvement. But I want to bring this to us this evening in hopes that if we're not currently struggling in this area, that God will do a work in our hearts to remember these truths. And if we are yet struggling, that God will continue to work and shape in us to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus. He is, of course, the perfect example when it comes to interpersonal relationships. He never sinned once. In any conversation with anyone, in any discussion, in any disagreement, he never sinned once. He was without sin. This passage before us, Romans 14, verse 19, is the one that I want us to focus on this evening as it relates to personal relationships. The context of Romans chapter 14 is that there were disagreements within the church, and there were people who believed different things about different issues. And what happened is that people who held differing views on these issues, which were not essential to the gospel, began to look down on the other side, began to judge the other side. And there was tension and there was conflict. The issue had to do with a number of things, but what day should be regarded, what day should be esteemed. Should people be allowed to eat meat as well as vegetables? And there are a number of different debates and discussions within the church at Rome. Paul, as he summarized the approach to differences and difficulties in the church, this is his summary statement. He says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Two things here. Peace, the things that make for peace, and the things that edify or build up one another. Those are the two things that Paul says we as believers need to focus and concentrate on in our relationships with one another. Peace and edification. Let's talk first of all about peace. God very obviously commands us to seek peace in our relationships with one another. I'm just going to pause there for a second. God commands us to seek peace in our relationships with one another. Now, I know that there are people to whom this comes easier than to others. But no matter what your personality is, no matter what your background is, no matter what your service is in the church, God commands us to seek peace. You can't say, "Well, that's not me." God says, "Yeah, it is." He doesn't say, "Seek peace unless you're someone that's been at the church X number of years." That's not what the Bible says. He doesn't say, "Seek peace unless you've been doing something for a long time in the church." He doesn't say, "Seek peace unless you have this kind of personality." He says, "Seek peace." And as if this one passage were not enough, God says this over and over again in Scripture. You look in the Old Testament, Psalm 34 and verse 4, "Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it." And evidently the Holy Spirit found that verse important enough that he actually had Peter quote that again in his epistle. Seek peace and pursue it. The verse that we read earlier, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Matthew 5, verse 9 from the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Ephesians 4, verse 3 tells us that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I want us to just let this sink into our minds and our lives. We are called to be people who follow after, who seek peace. Second, the peace that is pleasing to God is not peace at the expense of truth or holiness. The peace that is pleasing to God is not peace at the expense of truth or holiness. You know what I mean by that? It's the kind of peace that says, "Well, let's just get along and do whatever it takes to get along, no matter what heresies or sins people are involved in." That's not the kind of peace that is being spoken of here. We know that because the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to write in the same verse about peace and edification. Edification is a word that speaks about our being built up. You read throughout the scriptures and you see that we're built up in various ways, but one of the ways in which we're built up is in our most holy faith. You can't be built up in error. So the kind of peace that we're called to pursue is not a peace that says it doesn't matter how you live and it doesn't matter what you believe, let's just all get along. It's the peace, it's a peace that seeks for peace in truth. Peace in holiness. Again, if we were to, I just quoted Psalm 34 and verse 14. Notice in Psalm 34 verse 14, there is depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Both things are present there. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace and holiness. The peace that we are to pursue is a peace that is a godly peace and God-honoring peace. It's not honoring to God if we seek a peace that's apart from truth. Now, here's the issue, okay? As we think about this, please think with me. As your pastor, as your friend, as your brother in Christ, think with me about this. So often, the things that destroy peace are not things that have to do with truth and holiness. They have to do with minor, trivial, stupid things. And those things become more important to us than the gospel and the testimony of Christ. And I want to encourage us, listen guys, if a lost person comes into our midst and sees the things that we emphasize and sees the way that we respond to one another, are they going to be leaving this place with an accurate picture of what's important to Christ? What we emphasize and what we complain about and what we get grumpy about shows what's really important to us. It really is. Follow peace. Are people more important than programs? Yes. Are people more important than tradition? Yes. Follow peace. The peace that's pleasing to God is not peace at the expense of truth or holiness. But so often what divides us, what breaks peace, has nothing to do whatsoever with truth or holiness. Third, about peace. Peace does not happen naturally. Peace does not happen naturally. It is difficult and it must be pursued. Look at what the verse says there. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. That word there, follow after, literally is pursue. That's the idea. When you follow after someone, it's like you're chasing them down. This is what Paul tells us we should be doing. Pursuing peace. What that means on a very practical level at Ennerdale Road Baptist Church is, if you know that someone's offended with you, you go and talk to them. If you know that you've offended someone, don't say, well, that's just me, and go your merry way in sin. Let's be very plain about that. That is sin. I love you. This is why I'm telling you this. What will destroy Ennerdale Road Baptist Church is not some pressure from outside of us. It's not some difficulty of losing job. It's not some difficulty of someone saying mean things to us at work. It's not some difficulty of the pressure of that outside. What will destroy Ennerdale Road Baptist Church, if we allow it, is inside. We're the issue. Us. Peace must be pursued. That's hard, isn't it? Because when we're upset with someone, or we know they're upset with us, the last thing that we want to do is go talk to them. It's easier, isn't it, just to try to avoid them? It's easier to say, well, that person's upset with me, so I'm just not going to even be around them. Sometimes in God's grace, it works. And God allows the situation to blow over, and someone, you know, after a while, okay, I shouldn't have been so mad about such an insignificant thing. Okay? And sometimes there's a wisdom in letting someone have some space. But the reality is that if we are not pursuing peace, we're not going to have it. We're not. We would like to think that we can all just come and all just get along and just, you know, everything's going to be great. It would be wonderful, but you know what? You look in the mirror and you're seeing a sinner. You look up here, you're seeing a sinner. You look down the pew, you're seeing sinners. We're not perfect. And there are going to be struggles. I'm glad for the struggles. As we respond properly in the struggles, not in the absence of them, but in the struggles, we show the wisdom of God. We show the beauty of the gospel. When people from different ethnicities, with different personalities and different backgrounds, come together and have joy and unity that's bigger than their background, it points to the greatness of Jesus. But we must pursue peace. So I want to encourage you this evening. When you offend someone, or if you think you've offended someone, or if you think someone is offended with you, you don't think you've done anything wrong, but for some reason they seem to be upset with you, pursue peace. Pursue it. Chase it down. It's not easy, is it? But it's what God requires of us. We don't have the right to just say, oh, well, that's just not my personality. It ought to be. Well, that's not me. It better be. Listen, can I get personal for a little bit? Okay. It's hard for me to juggle everything that I have going on. It's hard. And I struggle personally with responding properly when I hear of things, when people complain about things. By God's grace, God has given me some grace in this area. I pray that that grace will continue. Be personal on another level to you. Just today, talking with Claire, she said that she likes Enterdale, and it's neat that I'm working at Whitfield, but it's kind of hard because I don't have as much time to spend with the family. It's true. Why would I still labor here in your midst under those conditions? Because it's right. There are things that God calls us to do that aren't easy. One of the things that God has for me to do that's not easy is to be a parent of special needs kids, a teacher, and a minister. My point is this. This is a difficult thing to do. But God's called us to do it. So let's be obedient. So peace doesn't happen naturally. It's difficult. It must be pursued. Fourth, about peace. Peace is not always possible, but may we always be the one who is seeking and open to peace. You say, peace isn't always possible. How is that? Well, turn with me. Stay in Romans, but turn back two chapters, almost exactly to chapter 12 and verse 18. So from Romans 14:19 back to Romans 12 and verse 18. This is what Paul says. if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, and what that means there, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. This is what Paul is telling us. It's not always possible to have peace. But in those circumstances where there is a breach of peace, where the peace has been broken, we need to be the ones who are making peace and who are seeking peace. In other words, here's my point. If we have a tension between some people in the church, okay, let's say Ariel gets upset with me, okay? He's angry with me for whatever reason. Let's say that I didn't shake his hand one morning and he's upset with me. He thinks I don't like him anymore. And so he's upset with me. And I notice that Ariel's upset with me. I should be seeking to make peace with Ariel. I should be saying, brother, I noticed that something seems to be off. You seem to be a little bit upset with me. I don't know what it is. Is there something I've done? Is there something that I've said to you and that I've offended you? I should be seeking peace. I should be seeking and open to peace. If Ariel says, well, you just like me, or you just don't like me, you just aren't kind to me, and he storms off, my response should not be, well, that's that. He didn't want to make peace, so I'm going to go my own way. That should not be, that's not a Christian attitude. It's not. Listen, how many times did you hear the gospel? How many times did God in His grace allow you to hear the gospel before you trusted Jesus? Very, very few of us heard the gospel the first time and trusted Jesus as our Savior the first time. God showed His grace over and over and over again to us in allowing us to hear the gospel, even in other little ways. For we, as Christians who have received such grace, to act like, well, the first time I tried to make amends with them, he didn't accept it, so that's it. I'm never going to try again. That's not only foolish, it's sin. Who do we think we are? We're going to act that way. Who do you think you are? Well, I tried one time and that's enough. Come on. How many times did God show you grace? How many times did you spurn His grace? Let's live the gospel. Let's live out the reality of the gospel in our lives. Now, thankfully, Ariel and I don't have that issue. I did shake Ariel's hand today, and we're good. But if that were to ever happen, I should be the one pursuing, seeking peace, following after peace, open to peace. Same thing. In your lives, be the one. Look at what Paul says here. As much as lieth within you. In other words, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, Paul realizes, under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, that there are times when you can't. But if there's an issue, it should not be an issue because of you. You should be the one living peaceably. You should be the one seeking peace and pursuing it. So, with regard to peace, God commands us to seek peace in our relationships with one another. There's no exceptions. All of us. We're all called to seek peace. Second, the peace that's pleasing to God is not a peace at the expense of truth or holiness. It's not the kind of peace that just overlooks sin and overlooks patterns that are destructive to people and to the church. It's not that kind of a peace. It's a peace that is also concerned with building up other believers. Third, peace does not happen naturally. It is difficult and it must be pursued. And fourth, peace is not always possible. But in those times when peace isn't possible, we should be the ones that are pursuing peace. We should be the ones that are living peaceably. Now let's move on to the second part of what Paul talks about there, and that's the matter of edification. Edification means building up. So not only are we here at Ennerdale to be seeking peace in our relationships with one another, but we should be trying to build one another up, trying to help one another on to greater heights of spirituality, to greater depths in walk with God. We should be about building each other up. The church is social, but the church is not a social club. We come here and we enjoy relationships with one another. We enjoy fun with one another. Those things are great. But the church is the church. We are united in Christ, and it is our privilege and responsibility to spur one another on to love and good works. We should be seeking to build one another up in the faith. So God commands, like peacefulness, God commands us to build each other up in our relationships with one another. And again, there is no exception clause. We should be seeking to build one another up. So as we think about our friendships and our relationships with people in the church, ask yourself this: am I really striving, longing, working for that person to grow deeper in their walk with God, to reach higher heights of spirituality? Am I seeking their growth? Romans 14:19. The things wherewith we may edify one another. And again, as I just quoted earlier, this is another theme you see throughout the scripture, but we talked about this when we talked about Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. That we are to be seeking to spur one another on, to provoke one another to love and to good works. How are we helping one another to grow? How are we helping one another to do what's right? Are we? Sometimes our interaction with one another at church is nothing more than talking about the latest game or the latest movie or the latest musical production. It's not wrong for us to talk about those things. But that's not the big point of us being Ennerdale Road Baptist Church. If the point of our coming together, as far as our social interactions would go, if the point of us coming together socially is about only talking about sports, you may as well go to the bar as go to Ennerdale Road Baptist Church. Because there's plenty of people willing to talk about sports there. Especially if you're at a sports bar, right? It's not wrong for us to talk about those things, but in our relationships with one another, are we seeking to build each other up? Moving on. The edifying that is pleasing to God is not at the expense of peaceableness. Just as peace is not at the expense of holiness. In other words, we don't sacrifice holiness in our seeking for peace. We don't sacrifice peace in seeking to build people up. Sometimes there are churches in which there are people that are really, really wanting to do what's right for the Lord, and they want to see other people grow, and they're so, what's the best word for it? They're so on fire about it. They're so dogmatic about it. They're so inspired to do this that they don't really think about how they're doing it. You know, sometimes in a church there'll be someone who says, okay, what we need to do is we need to have this Christian virtue. We need to have the virtue of evangelism. And so they start to emphasize evangelism and talk about evangelism all the time. And they see somebody that's not evangelizing, and rather than trying to gently, peaceably encourage them to share their faith with others, they jump down their throat. What's wrong with you?
Don't you care about souls?
You know, that sort of thing. And they have no other gear. It's always just full steam ahead. The fact that Paul puts peace and edification together shows us that even when we're seeking to build each other up, we need to do that in peace and love and kindness. There's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Sometimes tough love is needed, but probably far less than what we think. So the edifying that is pleasing to God is not at the expense of peaceableness. James 3:17-18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we're seeking to build each other up. We're trying to do this in love and peace and harmony. Next, about edifying. Just like peaceableness, edification does not happen naturally. It is difficult and must be pursued. In our relationships with one another, it's not natural for us to long for and seek for and pursue people growing in the faith. Because, as we all know, it's a whole lot easier to do all kinds of other things. It's a whole lot easier to talk about the latest movies, and it's a whole lot easier to talk about the weather. It's a whole lot easier to talk about sports. Again, let me say this again, lest we miss it. I'm not saying talking about those things is wrong. But it's easier to talk about those things and never go anywhere else. Never try to encourage someone to do what's right. Never try to move them on in their walk with God. This is something that also needs to be pursued, and that's the way that Paul phrases it here. Let's follow after the things that make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. In other words, we also follow after the things that edify one another. Pursue it. Well, let's move on quickly for the sake of time. Edification is pursued in our personal deeds and actions as well as our corporate worship together. This is kind of going to open a door for what will come later in our talks together about looking forward as a church. Today I want to focus on personal relationships, but what I'm saying here is going to open a door, a bigger door. First of all, edification is pursued in our personal deeds and actions. Personally, Romans 15 verse 2, look ahead just a few verses to the next chapter. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Every one of us, again, no exceptions. We are to be pleasing our neighbor, pleasing one another for our good to edification. One of the key ways in which this happens, and I've focused on it quite a bit tonight, is our speech. What we say to one another. And I hope we all recognize that it's not just what we say, but how we say it, right? Do we get that tonight? That we can say something that's right in the wrong way? It's one thing to say thank you. It's another thing to say thank you. It's one thing for us to say, I appreciate your work. Another thing to say, I really do appreciate your work. Right? We recognize that. And part of that is socially learned. Okay? Two of my sons are going to have struggles with that. As autistic kids, they're going to have struggles with knowing the social cues. But the rest of us should be able to get that. It's not just about saying the right thing. It's about the way that we say the right thing. We can say the right thing and then later recount the event in our mind. I don't know why they got so upset. I said thank you. Well, you said it like you wish they were dead. You know, I said thank you. Didn't sound like you meant it. Sounded like you meant the opposite, right? Paul says this to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Listen to this. This is so beautiful. That it may minister grace to the hearers. Can you think about that with me? The way that we talk to each other, the way that you talk to people at church, think about yourself as a dispenser of grace. God has given me grace. God has given me so much grace. How can I then, with the grace that God has given me and shown me, how can I show that to others? I think that'll cure us from a lot of, this is my agenda, and this is the way I've done it, and this is the way I want to do it, and anybody else is stupid. I think it's hard for me to think, how can I pour grace into this person? And at the same time, think about how I wish that they were 100 miles away. Or at least 5 miles away in another church, right? May God give us the grace that we would, as we seek to build one another up, do it in such a way that we just look at ourselves as pouring grace into that person's life. If that's not the way that you view your life, it needs to change. And again, saying that's not my personality is no excuse. Well, that's just not me. Well, it better be. This is God's command. May we be the kind of people that want to pour grace into each other. One of the things that I try to do, I'm not perfect at doing it, but I try to let you know that I appreciate you. And there are times when I go home and I think, you know, this person here has been such an encouragement to me over the weeks, over the months. I haven't told them that specifically for a while. I need to make a point to do that. There are a lot of things that I forget, okay? I have a lot of things on my mind and I forget a lot of things. But one of the things that I strive to remember, is to remember to tell you guys how much I appreciate you. I'm not the best preacher in the world. I'm not the best administrator in the world. Not the best leader in the world. I know that. But I think that some of you might excuse me if you know that I love you. If you know that I appreciate you. How can I pour grace into your life? And you think about how can you pour grace into somebody else's life? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do with our speech. Well, there's a lot for us to think about, but I'm just going to open the door here, the next point. We build each other up, not just in our personal deeds and actions, and this is sort of a preview of what I want us, and ways that I want us to think moving forward. We edify each other corporately. That is, all of us together. As Paul sorted through the issue of tongues with the church at Ephesus, he said, As a basic rule, let all things be done unto edifying. That is, whatever we do together as a church should be done to build each other up. Now again, I'm kind of stealing my own thunder from things that are to come. What that means on a practical level is that sometimes we need to be flexible. Sometimes we need to be willing to let our favorites and let our opinions and let our preferences slide. We come here from different backgrounds to worship the Lord. Let's just pause for a moment just to apply this to music for a second. Okay? When it comes to music, not everyone is going to like every song that's chosen. I have reasons that I choose the songs that I choose. I don't want us to sing just for the sake of singing. That's stupid. We don't have that much time together. We might as well sing something that's meaningful. But not all of us are going to like every single song. Someone that's younger might want more progressive songs all the time. Someone that's older might want older hymns all the time, or at least, you know, maybe not older hymns, but the ones that are more familiar, because we really don't sing old hymns anymore. What we think of as old hymns are usually ones that are about 100 years old. What we see with some of the young people in the church at large is there's a return to old hymns, like really old hymns, ones that are 300 and 400 and 500 or more years old. But my point is this, if we think together, this is us as a body, how can we be built up as a whole? So it's not just about young people singing new songs because they like them and it appeals to them. And it's not just about older people singing older songs because it applies to them. How can we together grow and love the gospel more, grow in our walk? Now, this is the way that some churches respond to that. Well, we'll have one service for older people and one service for younger people. We'll sing the newer songs for the younger people. We'll sing the older songs for the older people. I don't see that. We're a church. From the youngest member to the oldest member, we're a body. I don't think there should be divisions in the body, which means that sometimes someone might hear a song that they just don't really get or like, or whatever the case may be. Or they say, well, that's too old. But the point is that all of us together, we want to be built up. All of us. It's not just about one person or another person. It's about us. Let all things be done to edifying. And really, this has more of an impact than just when it comes to music, doesn't it? And I won't jump down that rabbit hole, but you think about if we intentionally say everything that we do in the worship service and everything we do as a ministry of this church is for building up the church, for helping us grow in our walk with God, that everything really does mean everything. I mean, it goes to what do we wear? Do we make a big deal of what we wear? It goes to what do we sing and how do we sing? It goes to order of service. It goes to length of service. It goes to all kinds of things. Let everything be done for edifying. But that's a door I'm just opening for now. We need to think about some things moving forward. How do we do this for us as a body? But let's think again. Let's bring it back to personal relationships. Peace and edification. As we move forward, let's seek to be that kind of person that is pouring grace into the person that hears us. We're pouring grace into their life. I think that's the best picture of both peace and edification, pouring grace into someone. Because if you are not peaceable with them, that grace is not going to find a willing container, so to speak. And if you're not concerned with that person, that's not really grace that's flowing from you into that person. So I conclude again with the words of Paul. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another.